The name of our lesson tonight is Living Sacrifice. This passage here in Romans is one that we've talked about before. And as with most of the scriptures, over time, you keep coming back to them and the Lord reveals more and more about it. Things that were kind of not real clear before, he clears up. And it's interesting how he's able just to keep doing that over and over and over again. This passage is one of those that I just keep coming back to. And this idea of being a living sacrifice has always been a little vague for me. It's been something that I've kind of had a hard time really wrapping my head around and understanding really what it means. We understand what a dead sacrifice is, right? That was pretty easy. Like something is sacrificed and it is killed in the process. We see the sacrifices that Israel did to God. There's sacrifices in a lot of other religions. Jesus was a sacrifice for our sins. You know, when something is a dead sacrifice, we understand how that works, that it is killed as a sacrifice to God. But what does it mean for something to be a living sacrifice? How do you know, for something to be a sacrifice, it kind of is given up completely for God by being killed. So how does something be given up completely to God and yet still be living? What is that? What is a living sacrifice? And what I put here at the beginning of this is that a living sacrifice does God's will instead of their own will. That's how you can sacrifice yourself to God and still be alive. What you're actually sacrificing is your will, your ability to make your own decisions and to do your own thing and to live your own life. It's denying yourself. It's taking up your cross daily and dying to yourself. To be a sacrifice and to still be alive is to no longer live by your own will, but to live by God's will, to allow Him and His Holy Spirit to guide and direct and lead and to show us what He wants us to do, and then we submit ourselves to that. To be a living sacrifice, we use our will to decide that we're no longer going to live by our own will, and we commit ourselves to His will. Jesus did that. Jesus, throughout His life, was a living sacrifice all the way to the end. Over and over and over again, He said, I don't do my will, but I do the will of Him who sent me. I don't do my will, but I do the will of the Father. He was a living sacrifice. And because He was such a perfect living sacrifice, He sacrificed Himself all the way to the point of death, even death on the cross. The death that we deserve, bearing upon Himself our sins. He willfully chose to go to the cross. He even stated at times that nobody took my life from me. Nobody takes my life. I give it willingly. He was the perfect example of a living sacrifice. God expects us to be the same. He expects us to be a living sacrifice. We're still alive, but we're no longer ours. We have died to ourselves. We have denied ourselves. We have chosen to no longer live out our lives according to our own will, but according to the will of the Father. And this being a living sacrifice is really what true worship and service to God is all about. If we're going to truly and wholeheartedly worship and serve our God, we have to sacrifice ourselves. We have to take up our cross. And that's what he's getting to, I think, here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We've got a few different translations here to kind of bring out some different aspects of these things. But in Romans 1, he tells us to, says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Another translation is, give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. And another one says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. For us to do that, what we do is we take this body of ours and we decide that what we want to do with this body and the way we want to live it out, whatever, however many years he gives to us, we want to live it out in such a way that it's his. We present it to him. We offer it to him. We give it to him as a living and holy sacrifice. We decide that we're no longer going to decide what this body gets to do, how it gets to do it. We no longer set our own priorities. We no longer make our own choices. We set the priorities that God gives us. We make the choices that he tells us to make. And this is our reasonable service. It is reasonable for us to do this because of what he did for us. He sent his own son, who made himself a living sacrifice and then made himself a dying sacrifice for us. So as a result, it's reasonable for us to do the same thing for him. To live out our lives as a living sacrifice, doing his will every day. And this is the truest way to worship our God. There's no greater worship than we can give than to sacrifice. You see that throughout the Old Testament. As they worshiped God, they sacrificed. In the same way, we're to sacrifice. But the thing that we sacrifice is ourself. The way that we sacrifice ourself is to give up our will and submit our will entirely to his will. So, what is it that prevents us from being a living sacrifice? What is it that prevents us from submitting our will completely to his will? What is it that causes us to want to make our own decisions instead of allowing him to lead us? What is it that causes us to want to map out our own future instead of walking the path that he has laid out before us? The thing that prevents us from really being a living sacrifice is all in our head. We have to make a decision of our will to submit ourselves to him. That one, a very important decision. That requires a way of thinking. And if our thinking is wrong, if we think in such a way that we're making our own plans and doing our own thing constantly every day, then we won't be a living sacrifice. We'll be living for ourselves. So the way we think prevents us from knowing and doing God's will because we're not committed to knowing and following it. And we see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And the first thing that he says there is, don't be conformed to this world. Another way of saying that is, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Or don't conform to the pattern of this world. What is this world? What do we mean when we say this world? I think a lot of times we just think of that as just this really generic way, like this world. But I think it's really, really practical. What is this world that we tend to be conformed to, that tends to influence us?
I think it's the lifestyle that the people out there live.
Yes, the lifestyle. Another word for that is the culture, right?
Culture.
It's the culture within which we live. And that's different for every Christian all around the world. There are Christians all over the world in different cultures. And when they read this, do not be conformed to this world, it means this world that you live in as an individual. So for us, it's what the American culture is like. For somebody that lives in China, it's for what the Chinese culture is like. For somebody that lives in South America, it's for, if they're in Brazil, it's whatever the Brazilian culture is like that they're living in. It's that culture in the world that they live in, that Satan has orchestrated and created situations in there that causes people in that culture to be distracted from God and from his will. That causes believers not to sacrifice themselves as living sacrifices to God. So for us, it's very, very practical. When it says, be not conformed to this world, it means be not conformed to the culture of the United States of America that we live in. Be not conformed to the behavior and customs of the United States of America. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the United States of America. We have to understand that in this world, that Satan is the Lord of the world. In every culture all over the world, he works to distract people from God and from his will. It's that simple. It's just the culture that we live in every day. All the things around us that influence us. So he says, do not be conformed to the influences that Satan has created around you in the world and your culture and the things that that culture pursues that are not according to the will of God for you and for me. We should not copy the behavior and the customs of the world system that's around us. The pattern that it lays out for how people should live their lives such that they are distracted from God all day, every day. And you see that in our culture, right? I mean, you can look around, you can see in our culture that Satan has done a masterful job of distracting people from God. He's done just as good a job in every other culture around the world. That's what he does all day, every day. He has angels organized in an army. They have responsibility to geographical areas, and there's a hierarchy of them, and they're working in those areas to distract people from God and his will. So we have to be very careful that we do not allow the culture that we live in to conform us to its way of thinking, to change our behavior and our customs to conform to it and not to God's will for us. We need to be very careful that the pattern that Satan has laid out in this particular culture to distract us from God is not the pattern that we live by. But we live by the pattern that God has laid out for us in his word. We behave and we conform to the customs that he has laid out for us in his word. We conform ourselves to his word and his will. So the first thing that we have to do if we're going to be a living sacrifice and give up our will to follow God's will is to not be conformed to the world system that we personally live in. The system that Satan is orchestrating to distract us. And that system is different for each culture all around the world. Believers in every culture around the world has to deal with a different set of circumstances, a different set of customs and behaviors and patterns that Satan has created for them. But instead of allowing the culture around us to conform us to the image that Satan wants us to be, instead, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, this change happens in our minds that causes us to sacrifice our will to God's. Our minds have to be transformed. They have to be completely changed into something new. They have to be renewed. When we get saved, our minds are completely conformed to the culture that we're in. The process that we call sanctification and the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in each one of our bodies right now is a work that's designed to break that mold in us, to break the mold of the culture that we live in, the things that Satan has created within it to distract us from God, and to his job is to transform us from being conformed to this world to being conformed to the image of God and to his will. And that happens by renewing our mind, by changing the way we think, so that as we think, our thoughts are always in following him and his will and his word. We need to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. That new person that he's trying to change us into is who? Christ, Jesus. He lived out his whole life as a living sacrifice, submitting his will to the Father's will. And the Holy Spirit is trying to change the way we think. He's trying to transform us into a new person by changing the way we think so that we begin to think like Christ thought. So that we begin to have, as the scriptures say, the mind of Christ. That's the new person that he is trying to transform us into. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So as he changes our minds, we begin to think in such a way that our thinking begins to align with God's thinking. Our thinking begins to be influenced by God and by the Holy Spirit. Our thinking begins to be influenced by His Word. And it stops gradually, as we're being transformed and renewed, it gradually stops thinking like the world system around us. It gradually stops conforming to its patterns, to its customs, and to its behaviors, and gradually begins to conform to the customs and behaviors and patterns that Christ left for us. And as our mind is transformed and we begin to think with the mind of Christ, then we are able to recognize God's will. That's the first step. And secondly, we're willing to submit our will to it. We can see it, and now we're willing to submit to it instead of demanding our own way. And that's what he says here. As we're no longer conformed to the world system that we live in, but we're transformed into the image of Christ by the changing of our mind, then we're able to prove what is that will of God. We're able to demonstrate and live out the will of God. This word prove here means to demonstrate or test it out or try it out. We're able to live by it and show to the world around us that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. It's everything we could ever want. It's the best possible life. As he begins to change our mind and the way that we think, then we will learn to know God's will for us. God's will isn't this one thing. It's learning how to know Him and to see what He's doing and to live for Him each moment of each day. We will learn how to know God's will for us. It's not that we will learn God's will for us as this one thing that we know. We will learn how to know His will for us as we walk each day. And then we'll be willing to submit ourselves to it. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. When our minds, the way that we think, the pattern of our lifestyle, the customs that we live by, the behaviors that we exhibit day to day, are those that mimic the world around us in the United States, the system that Satan has created here to distract, and he does it in a myriad of ways. As long as those things determine the way that we live our life, we'll never be able to actually test out and demonstrate and approve that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. It's not until we come to a place to where we're willing to sacrifice ourselves, we're willing to deny ourselves, we're willing to take up our cross and to live sacrificially by giving up our will and following His, that we will begin to experience His will, we'll test it out, we'll prove it, we'll demonstrate that it is acceptable. And we will approve of it. We will recognize it as good. So what God wants for each of us is that we stop being what Satan wants us to be, which is a good part of the world system that He's created around us. You know, as Joe has said it before, he likes nothing better for someone to be an upstanding citizen, a nice person in the neighborhood with a good house and a car and a job, three kids and a dog, and just be a good, fine person their whole life and never think one thought about God and what God wants. That's what he wants. And he has created that system in the United States in spades, right? We've got it so good that so many people don't take a second thought of God and who He is. Satan created that system. We need to no longer be conformed to it. We need to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. That's true worship of God. That's what Jesus did throughout his life, constantly doing the will of the Father. And allow the Holy Spirit who lives within us, God himself, to transform us, to cause us to no longer be like this world system that Satan has created around us, to cause us to stop following the patterns and the behaviors and the customs of this system that we live in, and instead begin following the patterns and behaviors and customs that Jesus and God has laid out for us in his word, that his Spirit reveals to us each day, as he changes us by changing the way we think, so that we begin to think like God thinks. And when we do that, we will be able to learn his will. We'll be able to know what he wants us to do. And then we'll be willing to do it. We'll prove and demonstrate to the world and to ourselves that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And that it is, in fact, the good life. And the world system that Satan has created around us and the good life that it offers is the bad life. And we'll see it for what it is. And we'll be willing to submit ourselves to him as a living sacrifice.